This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
I don't think that Jason Wirth and Andy Van Slyke have a whole lot in common, but they are former All-Star outfielders, and they agree on this. On a podcast the other day, Jason Wirth said that these analytics people turn humans into robots and leads to super nerds in the front office. That's pretty good. But now, with that said,
yes,
is the analytics people would have absolutely loved you because you were a high on base percentage guy, guy that drew walks, OPS. They would have liked you.
Well, yeah. I probably would have made a lot more money in today's game than
right.
I did back then.
Exactly. Yeah. Some guy with wire-rimmed glasses who went to Harvard who couldn't throw a ball would be telling his owner, we got to sign Van Slyke.
Right. Well,
I just described like 12 GMs there, I think.
Oh, I didn't
know. Well, here's the thing. I mean, let me just say this. On base percentage, okay? That's another way of saying, you know what? Ty Cobb walks a lot and he hits for high average. I mean, that's
right.
New?
Yeah.
That's a new phenomenon? Ty Cobb gets on base by walking and hitting 400 singles a season? I mean, all they did was combine two stats that were already there and they made it sound like it was some ingenious thing to get on base.
All right, let me get to a couple of front office.
And they do that with a lot of stats, is my point, Frank.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, like Ozzie Smith's got the most analytical range in baseball. Well, you know what? Back in 1982, we already knew he had the best range in baseball. I mean,
you didn't need a scientific
study. I didn't need
study.
A stat to tell me that.
Yeah, that's right. On some of these trades, like Jason Shreve and Giovanni Gallegos for Luke Voit, who may be going to the All-Star game and hit 35 and 100. I understand people say, well, where would Luke play? Well, okay, I get that. But also, if you're giving up somebody that good, should you be getting more back? And I like the
Well,
fan.
Here's the thing about Voit, though. He wasn't – nobody thought it was going to be that good.
Yeah.
Okay, he's fallen into a really good situation in New York by having a team that loves to slug the baseball. Yankee Stadium, you have to. You have to do it in the American League East. You don't necessarily have to be the greatest defender either. And he happened to have a timing where he did well enough last year and had a bunch of guys going to DL this year, and he had an opportunity to play. And he's taken advantage of the opportunity. Now, would that have happened here? I probably would even have some success. Now, whether it would be the same level, nobody can say, Frank.
Yeah, okay.
It's just that the situation in New York just happened to fall right into his lap, and he took advantage of it.
What about with Tommy Pham, who is now with a .406 on-base percentage, an .866 OPS?
Yes.
He's probably going to go 25 and 25 or
right.
Could come close to that. Wouldn't they be a better team with Tommy Pham playing every day in center field?
Yeah.
Cardinals?
Sure. Absolutely. But I think what got Tommy Pham traded wasn't necessarily his talent to play at the major league level. It was his mouth that got in the way of maybe upsetting some people's pride.
But if you got a productive player who's not expensive, don't you just say, okay, we can live with a couple of comments? And he wasn't necessarily wrong when he criticized Brett Cecil for playing video games instead of preparing for a game. And he made some people more accountable. He wasn't exactly wrong.
No, I actually like that. I mean, personally, I like a guy that can stir the pot. I don't think he crossed the line. I think what he was trying to do was keep it at the professional level and not the personal level. But the problem is that everybody's so concerned about people's feelings today that, you know, we got a woke society. We have safe places that now we put young people in. So And so when you hurt somebody's feelings, it's they take it personal instead of professional. And I think he was strictly speaking professionally about what he upset him. And I personally like that.
All right, let's get to the pitching staff. First of all, the good news is it looks like Dakota Hudson is the real deal and has got unbelievable poise for just a young man. What are you seeing there?
I see a really nice arm. And a guy that, well, like Ponce de Leon last night, if he can control his breaking ball, you know, he's going to be a winner. I mean, they both these guys can control their fastball, but if they can control their breaking stuff, he doesn't walk many people, which is nice. His ERA is, what, 3.3 or whatever it is? He's leading the team in ERA in the pitching staff.
3.55 right now. Whatever it was. That was after a horrible start.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So he's actually, statistically, he's a better pitcher than he's actually been this year. So, you know, he's a young guy that's coming into his own.
I'm glad you brought up Ponce, who goes six innings last night, strikes out six, walks one. If he doesn't get the ball in 5 days, there should be an investigation. There's your fifth starter for the time being.
Yeah. I mean.
And the ERA is 1.20.
I mean, I think that one of the biggest, you know, there's obviously disappointments on this roster this year. And unfortunately, I think, you know, Michael Wacha is one of them. He just. You can't go back and say, is this a guy that when we've had a two-game losing streak and he takes them out in the third game, you're feeling good about it? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's not – he doesn't give you that, okay. he's going to shut down this other team today. He just doesn't give you that feeling. And, you know, Hutson, you can say that. Maybe you can say that with Adam Wainwright. And the way he punts through the ball last night, if he can get that – he's got one of the nastiest curveballs on the staff. And for some reason, he just seems to lose the grip. I mean, he throws a lot of high breaking balls that are never even close to the strike zone. I tell you what, if Maddux can figure out how to get that curveball in the strike zone, you know, and he throws it 25% and half the time it's a strike, it changes everything when you come to the plate as a hitter. It changes everything.
Jack Flaherty is actually having good outings, but he's giving up the home run ball too much. I think it's 14. Like the other night, he goes, allows four hits and two of them are bombs and he loses. What do you think?
Well,
Flaherty?
Today's game, Frank, that's
it.
They're solos, you know. If they're solos, that's fine. I have no problem with solo home runs because that means you're pounding the strike zone, and there's not and if you're getting up solos, that means there's not many guys getting on base to begin with. But the way the ball is flying this year. You know, in some ways, I can't blame these players for trying to hit the ball over the fence all the time. The ball's turned into a top flight.
The most interesting saga, I think, in the Cardinal organization right now is the plight of Alex Reyes. And you would be great to talk about this because you were on that Tiger coaching staff, and you watched another phenom named Reyes, named Anthony, pitched the first game of the 2006 World Series. He had this incredible resume. His first outing against Milwaukee is unbelievable. So we're all thinking, well, this Alex Reyes, though, is going to be the real deal. And right now he's 1-3 in Memphis after allowing 10 hits and 6 runs in 5 innings the other night. And you know what's crazy is he struck out 9 on 95 pitches. The stuff is there. The production is not. This is a wild saga here.
Obviously we didn't see him pitch. And, you know, statistically, when you try to make an evaluation of what a player does at the minor league level, it's very difficult to do unless you're there watching it. The disparity between stats in the minor leagues and the stats at the big leagues, that gap is big.
What? Explain that a little bit. What do you mean?
Well, because you don't have the same defense. You know, you don't have the same talent level. He's a guy that doesn't have the same catcher. You know, there's the situation at the minor league level is just so different when it comes to try to evaluate a pitcher's success. To me, I think the 9 strikes out speaks loudly.
Yeah.
But again, the way hitters, the transformation from trying to put the ball in play in the last 30 years to trying to hit the ball over the fence, who knows if that's a really good outing or not? Because striking out, there's no embarrassment about it anymore. Nobody's concerned about it anymore. Players, I mean, if you struck, I can remember striking out 3 times in the game and wanting to cut my wrist because I didn't put the ball forward. I mean, putting the ball forward used to be something that players took pride in.
Yeah.
You know, not if you get a lot of good swings and you strike out, no one hangs their head anymore.
All right. So because you brought up defense in the minor leagues, it leads to one of the best stories surrounding Andy Van Slyke. Now, let me set this up by saying this. Is that he won 5 gold gloves and was as good a center fielder as anybody who's ever played during that era. But there was one time they tried to make you a third baseman. Jim Fregosi was the manager. Rick Horton was on the mound. You pick up the story.
I was coming back from my honeymoon, Frank, and had no sleep for 2 days. Try to get back from Utica, New York to Louisville, Kentucky is not an easy process. So, flight connections and all that. Got married on a Sunday, played Monday night, played third base. It was the sixth inning. the game was 6-5. We were winning. It was the sixth inning, and a ball was hit down to me, and there was a guy at third base, and I took the ground ball. The ball got stuck between my fingers of the glove. I took my glove off and threw it halfway across the field for my fourth error in six innings. And Rick Horton was the pitcher. So Rick's giving up 600 runs because of me. And I go up and grab my glove, go back to third base. Jim Fregosi comes to the mound, and he puts his arm around Rick, and he whistles to me, and I'm not going over there. He whistles to me again. I'm not going over there. And finally, he goes, get over here. And I came over there, and the umpire comes on and goes, what's going on, Jim? He goes, puts his arm around Rick, and he says, Rick, I'm sorry, but I got to take you out of the game because you can't keep the ball away from your third baseman. So later on, in the game, I think it was the eighth inning, I hit a triple to drive in to put us ahead 7-6, and I tried to score between third and home. I had no legs left, and I fell on my face before I got to home plate and was tagged out. So that was the icing on the cake.
Oh wow!
And the best part was, I go out to see if my wife's there, and she's not there. She stayed back at the apartment and slept. And Fregosi said she found out about how you played and went back to Utica.
Oh, hey, we got a couple of minutes before we go to break. So let's go down the road since we're talking about defense here. Best defensive third baseman you ever saw or played against? Who would it be?
Oh, gosh. Played with is Terry Pendleton.
Would you put him ahead of Schmidt? Did you see the end of Schmidt's career?
I played against Mike.
But you thought
I didn't see Mike in his heyday.
Okay.
But from what I've been told in his heyday, he was good when I saw him. He didn't have the range.
Would you put Pendleton ahead of Roland, who you saw here?
Oh, gosh, that's a tough one. Man, that's a tough one. I think when I saw Terry at his best, he was, flip a coin.
Right. Shortstop, no doubt about it.
Well, it's Ozzie.
All right, who at second? Played with a good one here.
Yeah, I think the most overrated player I've ever saw second base defensively was Ryan Sandberg.
He won all the gold gloves.
He won all the gold gloves because he'd get hit. But I never saw a second baseman with a clean uniform.
Interesting thought.
Think about that
one. Yeah, that's good. So
See, my point being is I don't think he ever got to a ball that he thought he was going to make an error on wanted to get to a ball.
All right, how about first base? Did you see Hernandez at the end?
I saw Keith, and you played against Keith, obviously, 18 games a year for many years.
Yeah.
And he could change a game drastically based on the fact that he was so good at taking the bunt away in a bunting situation that he actually won games just by pressuring the bunter, usually the pitcher, sometimes the eighth place hitter, knowing that there's going to be pinch hitter coming up next. The way he could throw the ball at second base, being a left-hander, the way he charged the ball, and also had no fear whatsoever of trying to throw you out at third base if you were at second base. So I would say Keith is obviously up there as among the best ever.
Catcher, strictly defense, Matheny really good, Yachty, bench.
Pudge.
Oh, man.
Pudge is great. I think as far as playing goalie, not letting the ball get by, Matheny was the best I've ever saw. I mean, he's the only catcher in the history of baseball. Think about this. In between innings, blocked pitches. He blocked pitches when the pitcher was warming up.
Really?
Yes.
Most catchers just let him go.
Well, they try to catch it with their glove. Mike was blocking pitches if the pitcher threw the ball in the dirt when he's warming up. That's how good he was. But overall, obviously, Molina's he's a Hall of Fame defensive catcher.
How about left field? Would it be Barry?
Barry Bonds, most underrated left fielder, I think.
He didn't throw great.
He didn't, but he didn't have to.
He just got to everything?
He got to everything, and he had the quickest release that I've ever seen from a left fielder.
Wow.
Maybe from any outfielder.
Throw yourself out of the equation in center. Who would it be? Edmonds, Griffey.
Griffey, Devon White was great. Edmonds was great. You know, it's interesting that when you think about defense, you always go to center field when you come to your...
Yeah.
Because, you know, those are the guys that usually can play left or right field and center field. And...
But Griffey at his best was better than Edmonds. That's close.
Who knows? Yeah. I mean, I would... Maybe because he was faster. You know, I mean, Jim could run, no question about it. But as far as top speed, Griffey just could fly.
How about right field? Anybody better than Larry Walker?
Anybody better than Larry
Walker?
Andre
Dawson? Alice Valentine?
Oh, gosh. Well, as far as overall, I think it's unfortunate that, you know, when a player like Larry Walker, who played in Montreal, played in Colorado, and then comes to St. Louis, and you only see a glimpse of what he was defensively, you really can't appreciate just how good he was. To really evaluate a defensive player, you can't do it in a three-game series. You have to do it in a three-month.
Yeah.
You got to look over what's he done in the last 3 months or 6 months, and that's how you evaluate how good a defensive player Larry Walker was. So he was great. The people who are, you know, who watched him in St. Louis can't appreciate just how great he was.
All right, let's take a short time out. Andy Van Slyke with us. Gatesworth, one of our sponsors, finest in senior living. Looking for a place for mom or dad, aunt or uncle, grandma or grandpa. Look no further than the Gatesworth. 170 in Del Mar, 1 McKnight Place. The answer is always yes when you call onto the front desk. We'll be right back.